at large, especially in the areas of those married couples you met, you taught, and the pastors. So you never know the impact this church has done to our country. And we are very, very much proud of you guys here. And I wonder how God can use the humble and ordinary people for extraordinary work. I tell you, your prayers and your coming to our country and any kind of other support you are doing to us is really is helping us to serve God our Father in a way you will never explain. I mean, I will never explain. Maybe until that big day when God will come back with rewards to give to those diligent people who served him. That's when you know what you did. But I'm here to assure you that you are our brethren indeed, and we are proud of you. And this church is our home church in America, and Pastor Jim is our father. I mean, he's our father with the messages and ministries done to Uganda. You are our father. You can't deny it. And I told the brothers in Dallas Church that I'm here to get him back. Because remember when he fell off the roof and injured himself, we prayed and we said we still need him, Father. You can't go. It's not time for him to go home. We still need him. And and I knew in my heart, in my spirit, that it's not yet over. And I believe you are coming again. We have just been with a married couple. Seminar in Uganda, and I believe we are going to do the same when you come, because we had people from all over, and we had an incredible time, and families and has been redeemed, and marriages strengthened, and that's one of the things we need in Uganda. Thank you so much, Pastor, for loving us, and I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you, Brother Craig. And where is my young sister? She's right there. Oh, wow, she did an incredible work. She made a very big drawing in our dining hall, and which shows the glory of the Lord, which is manifested on his creation. You don't know what you have done, and all the champions, they remember Sidi, and they always pray for you. So thank you for taking your time to come. That blew my mind when I came here, and I found her raising funds to come to Uganda, and she did it. Not just talk about it, but she did it. That was a challenge to me, and I'm here to welcome many of you to come to our country. If I can make it to America, I think each one of you can come to Uganda. I believe so. Let me tell you, this time was not so easy. I was invited to the men's conference, which has just taken place from the 1st to 3rd in Marriott Hotel, south near the airport, by Paul Coe, the son of Edwin Lewis Coe. People came from 120 nations, and we had a wonderful time together. It's very, very exciting to know, to hear what God is doing around the globe, especially in those countries where the gospel used to be prohibited. I mean, you hear how God penetrates and forward his work in those countries and draw many to himself. That makes me to say, we are living in the best time where God is moving in a way that he has never done before. So right after that conference, I had come here. I said, I have to make my people home happy to hear that I went to Emmanuel Church. And I'm so happy to meet all of you. When Pastor Jim asked me to share something here, I had a message, but last night it changed. And I have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit to bring what God has put on my heart. And I came here and I heard everybody was talking about children, my children, our children, children in Tanzania. And I'm here to talk about children too. And the Bible says that out of two witnesses, let every word be established. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you again for another opportunity you have given me to come back here and meet your precious people that washed by your precious blood. Thank you, Father, for the work you're doing in our individuals' lives, Father. I thank you for the leadership of the church here, Lord, Pastor Jim, Pastor David, and the rest. Father, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, to connect us together for the purposes of the kingdom. Father, I thank you. When I look behind and see what has been achieved ever since we connected, I just give you the praise and glory, and I'm grateful, Lord, for what you are doing in our time, Father. Bless us as we hear this brief message, and help us to understand what you want us to know. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want you brothers to open in the book of Exodus, and also we shall jump and read in Isaiah. In Isaiah. I'll be preaching as well as giving the testimony of what God is doing in my country. So I want you to go with me in Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10. And we shall begin from verse 8. Let me see. I think I'm right. We shall begin from verse 7. 10:7. Exodus chapter 10, beginning from verse 7. And the Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? Verse 8, and Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? Verse 9, and Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, and with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And then verse 10, and he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. Not so, go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that you did desire. And they were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. And I want you to jump over and go to Isaiah, chapter 39. And I'm going to read from verse 6. Okay, we are beginning from verse 4. 39:4. Then said he, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all is in thy thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. Verse 7. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shall beget, shall they take away, and they shall be an ox in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord, which thou hast spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. May the Lord bless his word. Amen. In the scriptures we have just read, we see two different people. One was Moses, and another one was King Hezekiah. Both of these people, out of these readings we have just received, I want to talk to you about the future of the country, the future, the coming generation, the children we have. When God sent Moses to go and take the children of Israel from Egypt, it was not that easy, because the heart of Pharaoh was often hardened, and he could not let the children of Israel go. And up to this time, when the people of Egypt went to Pharaoh and said, you have to let the people go. We are destroyed. Egypt is in danger. Their God is destroying us. You have to let them go. And then the Bible says that they brought Moses and Aaron back to Pharaoh. And here he says, now you want to go, tell me who are going. And Moses boldly stood on his feet, and he said, we are going with old people, with our old people, and we are going with our children, sons and daughters, and we are going with our flocks. We are leaving nothing behind. That's how we are going. And listen to what Pharaoh said. Wow, you want all of you to go? Okay, you old people, you can go, but not the children. That's what you want to do. You go and serve your God, but I'm not going to let the children go with you. And Moses said, we have to go with our children. Ever since that time up to now, I see Pharaoh represents the devil, and Moses is representing the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. The Satan says, you can go, but your children won't go. But the Bible says that our children, they are heritage from God. They are the people that are going to take the baton. The baton. You know, I think you have ever seen people running racing relay, where they pass the baton to another person and they run with it. And I believe that our God is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our children, they are heritage from God. They have to inherit and take the double anointing that will forward the gospel from generation to another generation. But the devil knows that very well. And he says that you old people, you can go, but not your children. I've seen that in Uganda, and I've tested it. When my father died, I was 8. After 3 years, I saw the hand of the devil. I mean, I saw how we suffered, and I saw how Satan was trying to destroy everything that my father worked for and my father did. But I thank God for my mom. Through all those terrible days and times of being a widow with 9 kids, my mom never gave us up. She was always there with us. But she was mom. There was no dad. So we went through a severe poverty and we suffered a lot. I can't tell you the details. I don't have that time to tell you all the details. But I saw the real devil. My father was a prosperous man. He had more hundreds and hundreds of cows. But within 3 years, we had nothing. We had nothing, completely nothing. Because the witch doctors took many the cows of our father, and we were left with nothing. Ever since that time, I lived in a regret time. I mean, I used to say, I wish my father was around. We would not have gone through this difficult time. I wish my father was around. Not until when I came to know Christ as Lord and Savior when I was 21 years of age. And I came to know that God is not just somebody seated there up in his sovereignty, but he's also Father, the Father that will never die, the Father who cares, who comforts, who guides, who leads, the Father who provides, the Father who is there always for somebody who needs him. So when I knew that, I never wanted anybody else to call me an orphan. Because I said, I have a father. And I tell you what, God has never disappointed me. He has been a father ever since. He has been a father. I remember Pastor Jim, when he comes to our country, he uses the word alternative, that God always has an alternative. He puts the way where there's no way. He can make you through any situation, and he can cause you to triumph over your enemy. But anyway, back to the scriptures we have just read. I see even in our time these two kind of spirit, the spirit of Hezekiah and the spirit of Moses. When Hezekiah was sick, King Hezekiah, is that the pronunciation? Hezekiah was sick. He prayed and God gave him more 15 years to live. And he was very happy, recovered from that terrible sickness. And the king of Babylon sent a team with a letter to King Hezekiah. And the King Hezekiah was very excited and he was very happy to receive the team with a letter from the king. And after that, he took the team around and showed him everything that he had in his stores and everything that his father worked for. Everywhere in the store, all around the parish. And then when the team went back to Babylon, then here the prophet of God came to him and he said, "What have you done?" And he said, "Okay, I've taken them to everything, nothing. I left, I showed them everything." And then the prophet said, "This is what is going to happen. This is what you have done. Nothing that you have showed them will remain. Time will come. They will come and take everything from the parish, including that which was worked by your father. It's going to be taken to Babylon. But this will not happen in your time, but in the time of your children." Then Hezekiah said, "Okay, that's good news." What a good message. Yeah, I'm happy that it will not happen in my time. In my time, there will be peace and truth. So what? No problem. When I compare these two people, One side, I cry tears in my heart to see such a leader doesn't care about the future. He doesn't care about the children. He doesn't care of what is going to happen in the, for the next generation. He didn't even care for his children to suffer the consequence of his mistakes, of what he did. So long as there is peace in my time and truth, it's okay. I see that spirit also in our time. There are people who don't care. I see sometimes parents who doesn't care. I see even leaders in Africa, leaders of different capacities, church leaders and political leaders and people in many offices, they don't mind about tomorrow. They don't mind of what will happen tomorrow. If you are a leader and you can't see the future and you don't work for the good of the future and you can't have that vision of the future, I don't think you deserve to be a leader of any capacity. You don't deserve to be a parent. You don't deserve to be a father if you can't look in the future and say, hey, I want my children to inherit something good. I don't want my children to suffer the consequence of my sins and my mistakes. I want to leave the legacy. I want my children to enjoy, and I want to leave this world a better place to live in, and my children to enjoy. You know, there's the way I define love. Lust is the opposite of love. And this is how I define the two. Lust desires to satisfy self to the expense of others and God. Let me say, even include God. There's lust. That is how I define lust. Is desire to satisfy self to the expense of others and God. And love desires to satisfy others to the expense of self. You deny yourself. You die to self for the others to benefit. I think that is the spirit of a leader, beginning from the family up to any different capacity of leadership. Deny myself. I remember what one time Pastor Jim kicked off this ball when he was preaching, and he made a very big mistake. And he said that husbands, they have to take the burdens and the wives take the blessings. That became a song in my house. Always my wife reminded me that. Even sometimes the kids also, they usually reminded me this, that fathers and leaders, they take the burdens, and for us, we take the blessings. And I believe it's true. It's true. The purpose of living is to die to self so that others may benefit, is to take the burden, is to make sure that we make our stand in our time like Moses. The spirit of Moses reigns in our time, some places, some areas, as well as the spirit of King Hezekiah is also reigning over. But I believe in this church and many other places where God reigns, we have people who say that we are here for the purposes of the future. We are here to make sure that our children enjoy life, enjoy good life, walk with God, serve God, and inherit Canaan, and reach their destination successfully, and stand for the cause of the gospel. I want to give you an example of the dream I got one time. I have said this in Dallas Church. One time I got a dream, and I don't believe in dreams so much. But this dream was so real. It was like this. I saw the young men and women from all walks of life, and there were very many, very, very, very many, multitude of them. And each one of them was holding a torch in his hand or her hand. And they were content for their faith to take this torch across the borders to the other side of the world. And they were really walking majestically. I mean, they were so bold that nothing could stop them. I mean, not even the borders regulations. I tell you, this time when I was coming here, they asked me so many questions at the border. Why are you going? How long are you going to stay there? Why are you coming to my country? Oh, but I laughed and I laughed. But anyway, this team of young men, no border regulations could stop them, not even their background, not even their denominational barriers and even cultures could stop them. They were walking majestically with the torch ready to take them there, to take the torch across the nations. And they were singing a song, which I remember very well. And I believe you know that song. It goes like this. God has got an army marching through the land. The reverence is the soul with healing in their hands. Everlasting joy and gladness in their hearts. In this army I got a part. They were singing so nicely. I mean, I enjoyed the aroma of their music. They were singing like angels, but they were walking majestically and ready to take the torch. And in the midst of the dream, I said, Lord, I want to be a part of that team. They were between 13 and 25 or 30, between that group. But I'm over 50. I'm 55 now. But I said, Lord, I want to be part of that team. But I came out of the dream, and I said, oh, my God, I was just dreaming. But what came in my mind was that in our time, God is doing an incredible work. And is going to do more with our kids, with the young men and women. Because the Bible says in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, that during the end days I'm going to pour down my spirit upon all flesh. Young men, they will see visions and prophesy. And to me, I believe that we are living in these days. And even the devil knows that very well. And he's on fight. I mean, he's trying to fight the word of God, the promise. He's trying to divert the young men from the right track, from God, by using so many conveniences we have in our time. I mean, taking their hearts in entertainments and enjoying themselves emotionally, and yet they are dying in the spirit. It's going to take strong men and women of God with the spirit of Moses. Say, come what may, let the fight begin. Let the fight, let us fight again. We are not going to leave our children behind. We are not leaving our old people, but more especially, we are not leaving our children behind. We shall go with them. This is what I always tell my fellow men in Uganda. The same confession we have to tell the devil, we are not leaving our wives behind. We are not going to be like Lot, who left his wife behind and he became a pillar of salt. And you know what happened in the future when he left his wife behind? And he took off with these young young ladies that were energetic, strong to climb the hills and run long distances. And mom was coming slowly behind, and she could not make it. And she was left behind. We are not leaving our wives. They shall not become pillars of salt. We are not leaving our old people. I thank God my mom accepted Christ 1 month before she went to heaven. But over the years, I prayed and I cried to God and I said, Lord, I can't let my mom, who suffered with me for that long time, and she was there for me all the time, I can't afford to be in heaven and see her just being consumed in hell. I don't want that. And I said, God, I mentioned something which I regretted some time back. I said, Lord, I'm going to stand in front of the gate of hell. And I will say, my mom is not going to hell. Because you said, Lord, that whatever we pray, let us believe that we have received it and we shall see it. I've fasted and prayed and talked to my mother and loved my mom. God, you have to grant my petition. You have to grant my prayer. I want to see my mom in heaven. And I want to see my brothers and my sisters in heaven. God is so good that before she went to heaven, she came to the champion's home. And when she looked around and saw all those kids from many parts of the country, including the north, the people were considered our enemies, and she saw everything and she said, Joel, what you are doing is of God, and I love and I want that God. After some few weeks, she confessed Christ and she died a believer. I'm very excited for that. We shall not leave our old people. We shall not leave our children, sons and daughters. And we shall not leave our cattle, the works of our hands, in the hands of the devil. If the devil insists, let the fight begin again. And I believe since God was with Moses, God is with us. If we don't give up on God, if we don't give up on promises, if we don't give up on touching the hem of his garment, God will never give up on us. He will never give up on us. We should not be like Hezekiah, who says, I don't care. So long as I live in peace, so long as those horrible days will not come in my time, it's okay. Brothers, it's not okay. It's time for the church to raise and do something. Before I tell you what is happening in Uganda for the children, let me tell you something happened before that. It was about the pastors. In our areas, we have about 57 churches that called the Rubaga zone. And we lost pastors in a way we can't explain. Some of them, they died an instant death without. Some of them, they got sick a little bit and they passed away. And we lost about eight of them. And one of them, the thieves came and they killed the maid, the house girl. And they took all the properties during the day when the kids were at school. And this young daughter of 7 years, she came back home from school at around 1 and just found the dead body in the living room. She's the one who went to the neighborhood and shouting, Aunt Sarah is dead, Aunt Sarah is dead. And people, they came and they found dead body in the living room of the pastor. And God spoke to me. And he said, you have to stop that. We have to stop that at the church. And he took me in a story in the book of Acts where Herod killed James. And when he saw that the people were happy of what he did, he also arrested Peter and put him in prison for a while. And he was ready to kill him too. And that's when the church wakened up in prayer and they started to pray. And God sent an angel to come down for the rescue of Peter. And Peter went out of prison straight to the place where they were praying and interceding. And God spoke to me and he said, what are you doing? Why are you just going for burial ceremony and yet you have the power and the authority over the enemy? Then I mobilized all the pastors and I told them what I have in my spirit, and I said we have to be ready for a fast and prayer. We have to go for spiritual warfare. You know, the Bible says that I will strike the pastor and the sheaves will scatter. So we went for 3 days of praying and fasting together, and it was really so good. It was very good. First of all, the people that killed the house girl were arrested 3 days after that prayer and fasting. And up now they are arrested, they are in prison. I mean, they are ready to face the judge. Not only that, from that time, I can't tell you how the church, I mean the people of God, are moving around, going prisons and hospitals and everywhere, marketplaces, they are preaching the gospel than ever before. And I'm very excited to see what God is doing. Not until the church wake up. The enemy want us to feel good in our time, so long as I have food on the table, so long as I have a good career, so long as I am driving and I have a house and I can drive from one state to another, and I can even buy a mobile house. You call it a mobile house here? I mean, where you sell your house and buy that house, which, like a bus. When there is winter here, you just cross to the other state where there's no winter, and you enjoy yourself. And you feel like, in my time, everything is okay. No! God is calling upon the church. Let our eyes be opened and see the future. Is it okay? Is the future safe with our kids? Our kids, or the forthcoming generation, are they really serving God? Are you sure? Oh, we have to do something about it. Oh, we have to take a stand and tell the devil that our children must inherit the kingdom of God. They are heritage from God. They have to walk the talk. Because God is God of Abraham, I mean Isaac, and Jacob is God of generations and generation. I thank God for the history of this country. Everywhere I go, and especially on your Independence Day, there are many good things spoken by people here. They say that we are enjoying the blood of our forefathers. We are enjoying the suffering and the pain of our forefathers. Thank God for those people of the ancient days. They looked into the future and they said, we want our children to be. Some of them, even they died. Some of them, they are crippled. I mean, some of them, they have symptoms of the pain, the price they paid for the future. But when I look into our time, I'm sorry to say that I can see somehow, somewhere, the spirit of Hezekiah. I'm okay. I don't care. I'm going to heaven. Jesus is my Lord and is my Savior. When I die, I don't want to die in Africa. I want to die in America. One time I asked somebody, and I said, what makes it important to die in America? and you're going to die anyway. They ask you, are there lions and snakes and wild animals everywhere in Africa? I don't want to go there. I don't want to die in Africa. To me, the best way is to die on your father's work. When God says go, he's going to take care of everything. I told my friend that the last time I saw snake in Africa is 5 years ago. And if I want my kids to see a lion, I always take them to the zoo or to the national park to safari. And yet he was here living in fear and being scared of going to Africa because the lion can eat him anytime. That's the lie of the devil, so that we may not think of the future, so that we may not serve God and walk in the callings that God has called us to do. Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel. You know, the way I consider selfishness is not to think about others, but to think of yourself. When I came in this church and I found Pastor Jim teaching and preaching about death, one time he said that God has brought me here to kill you. I didn't understand that at the beginning. But I believe anyone who wants to be like Moses, he must die to himself. He must deny himself for the sake of the future, for the sake of the children. Let me give you an example. In Uganda, when people died in civil wars and during the dictatorship regimes and AIDS epidemic, we were crying and saying, God, people are dying. You have to help us, Lord. You have to help us to do something about this. Until finally, we realized that was not something we should do. We have to do something more by reaching those who are not yet dead. And we have a saying in Uganda, a dead dog is better than a living dog is better than a dead lion. Let me say that again. A living dog is better than a dead lion. We forget those who are dead, but let us run for the restore of those who are still alive. So that's why we started traveling around and organizing youth camps and teaching our youth obstinance and character and good things. We used to have youth camps of like 2,000 young men spending with us a time of like a week in the boarding schools and during school holidays, and they liked it. I mean, they loved to hear something that can help them to survive. We taught them something like we considered Grovimo. Grovimo, we have a say, let me say it, I think you understand what I mean here. We used to say, grow, and another group say, Vimo, therefore, no sex before marriage. After marriage, sex. And we taught them how to keep themselves pure. That helped a lot, because the rate of the people dying of AIDS came from 35% to 6%. And one of the reasons is reaching those who are still alive and teach them the way to live. And they loved it. Grovimo, that was the team, the glory of virginity movement. And we are teaching people to keep themselves pure and obstinance. And they loved it. We used to give them badges where there was that writing Grovimo. And the reason why we did that is that during the time of his wedding or her wedding, he used to bring back that baton to us and we give them a lamp, which represents the word of God. I tell you what, all of them who got married, they were so happy to bring the baton, that badge back in exchange of the lamp, and they are proud that I'm a Grovimo. Grovimo. And I'm ready for family now. I'm ready. That was something you may think that maybe it doesn't work, but it worked in our country. Not only that, we went to reach the parents to teach men and women to stick together and trust God and avoid cheating to one another and just walk the talk. And that worked because there was an evidence of people dying because they go outside the wedlock. It worked. We went on the radio. I've been on the radio for the last 20 years now, I think, if I can remember. And we started having married couples meetings and seminars and conferences and counseling. And that's how God restored our country. We have to do something. And I believe maturity is someone to look beyond his nose. Do you use that phrase here? That if you can't see beyond your nose, you are a kid, even though you are 65 years. But you have to look in the future and see what is coming and stand for the rest of those who are still alive, beginning from our family, our children. I'm so happy that my children, they are working with me. They love God. And they are serving alongside with me. And they are content for their faith to see that the ministry goes forward. And that makes me happy. And to know for sure that even if I die tomorrow, there is someone with a platoon that will run with it across the nations. I'm standing on my foot to rebuke the spirit of Hezekiah. In every family, in every parent, in every mature person, in every person possessing the spirit of the Lord and bear the name of God, I want to rebuke that spirit. We have to do something. You know, when we are to do the mission work, there are three things that all four we have to do. Number one, we have to pray. Because it's not all about our strength. It is God. We have to pray. Number two, we have to go. Number three, we have to support. The strong men, they do all the three. They pray, they support, and they go. At least someone can do two. He can pray and support. At least you can do one. You can pray. Let me give you an example. Some years back in your country here, there was somebody called D.L. Moody. He was a very strong, brilliant man of God. He served God in his time. But I came across his magazine, his book, where he wrote this vision, his dream, that one time he was going up to heaven. And on the steps going to heaven, the big door opened up. And he could see inside. And he saw Jesus standing behind a very long table. And there was this wonderful golden crown laid on the table from the smallest one to the big one. And when he looked behind, there were many people coming on that steps, coming in that building. And within himself, he knew that those are the people who got saved in his campaigns, gospel campaigns and seminars and preaching. And he said, okay, moreover, I'm dear Omodi. I better stand here and wait and let everybody go in. Let him get his crown. And then finally, I'll enter and get my biggest crown when everybody see that I'm D.L. Moody. Well, everybody came in and Jesus was shaking each one's hand and he said, welcome, my brother. Thank you for the great work you did in the world. And he could go and get his crown and put it on his head. And this guy go and sit in the pews. Another one comes like that. Until there were two crowns remaining. The smallest one and the huge one and the big one. And when he looked at the back, no one was coming. And he said, okay, now it's my time. It's my time. He went in and he knelt down. Jesus shook his hand and he said, welcome, my brother. Thank you for the great work you did. He went and he got the smallest. And he brought it on his head. And Dear Omodi was shocked, was surprised. And he said, Jesus, I'm Dear Omodi. And Jesus said, I know you better than you do. And Omodi said, then why are you giving me someone's crown? And Jesus said, no. There's nothing like that in heaven. You get what you deserve, what you paid for, what you worked for. That is exactly your crown. Then Moody said, Jesus, can you do me a favor? Can you tell me the owner of that big crown there? And Jesus said, okay, come on. They went somewhere, and it opened up, and you could sit down in his church. There was an elderly woman. She was praying and interceding for souls. She was praying so that none of people go to hell. And he was praying with tears, claiming souls in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, Brother Moody, the crown is waiting for that lady. And let me, for your information, all the people who got saved in your gospel campaigns, God was answering her prayers. It's not because of your preaching. It's because of her prayers. With that pride in your spirit and exhortation, exhorting yourself, nobody could come to God. But God was answering the prayers of that lady. You know what I always tell my brothers in Uganda? Ministry is not preaching. Ministry is not singing. Ministry, all of that is the result of ministry. But real ministry is prayer. Amen. Show me a parent who is not praying for his kids, and I will tell you the results. He's not a good father or a good mother. Because whatever God is going to do, he's going to answer your prayers. Show me a leader in any capacity who doesn't touch the hem of God's garment. And I'll tell you the results. It's not out of power. It's not out of wisdom. It's by God's spirit. God give out the gift to people. He anoints people. As an answer of someone's prayer somewhere, somehow. That's why I said that we need your prayers in Africa. You can stay here and pray for us. At least do one of the three, and mostly pray for us, so that God may intervene in the situation in Uganda and change the bad for good. And change what the enemy intends for bad. God. You can do something else. You can come. Come. Everybody here can be used by God. Pastor, can I say this? You people of America, you don't know what you have. But let me reveal to you what you have. First of all, you have the foundation of the gospel. In Uganda, we are just digging the foundation, but you have the foundation here already. Number two, you have the fame of your country, the name of your country. When you are American, everybody wants to see who is American. Number three, you have the currency, the dollar. You have people what they don't have. But what the enemy is doing is to make sure that you feel okay. I don't care. I have my dollars. I'm in America. I don't want to die in a far country. Sorry to say that, but anyway. It's not of this church, because I've seen people going for missions. And I've met so many brothers around this country who are once members of this church, and they are proud of this church. I can't forget Grady and Ivan, who are traveling around the nation, and they come to our country and they always preach the gospel. I can't forget Mark Newman, who have been standing with us and supporting the work we are doing in Uganda. I can't forget people like Ken Wobridge. I can't forget many others that are really scattered everywhere preaching the gospel, and most of all, the team that always come from this church to Africa, to Zambia, to Congo. And we have been talking about Burundi, the president of Burundi being a friend of Pastor Jim. You have done your part. But it's my prayer that you keep it up. It's not yet over. There is a cry outside this country. There are people who are saying, who is someone coming for my rescue? You are blessed to be in this church, guys. You have a lot. I think Brother Craig can witness that. When he comes to Africa, we take him everywhere, and people, they open up doors for him to preach, and they are blessed. They are blessed. I said, if he didn't come, what would happen to these people who are now free, and they are receptive to his gospel, and they have been helped, and they have been encouraged? And I say, thank you, Lord, for Craig. Let us think what will happen tomorrow. Let us possess the spirit of Moses. Now, when I see my champions, I feel so humbled by God. And I say, Lord, I don't want to die today. I want to see what you are going to do and what you are aiming in the lives of these champions. When I see how they love God, how they pray, how they worship. And sometimes when we take them back to where we got them during school holidays, and how they have managed to win some of their relatives who are still there to Christ, that is a sign that God is going to do an incredible work. And I can't wait that time when I'm sitting in the pews there and I see many of them standing boldly and lift up the banner of salvation and preach the gospel and ready to die for the gospel and for the sake of Christ. I can't wait to see that time. And some years back, I used to love dying, especially when my young brother in the family was shot by the Muslims. They found him reading the Bible, getting ready to preach the next day, and they shot him and they killed him. During those days, after that time, I used to die like, I used to love dying like my brother. They found him ready for the work of the gospel, and I don't regret. I know one time I'm going to meet him somewhere in a better place than this world. I wanted to die like that. And there are times when we went to the islands and other places, and people, they said, we are going to kill you. And I said, so what? I'm here. That's what I want. But ever since I started taking care of the champions, I don't want to die anymore. Because I can't wait to see how God is going to do and use these kids. I was a strong Catholic. But in our faith, we used to say, give me a kid of 4 years and let him stay with us for 5 years. He's going to be a Catholic forever. And matter of fact, I was ready to kill someone who started witnessing Christ to me, because I knew that unless you die a Catholic, you never see God. But by God's mercy, he saved my heart and he changed my spirit. Now my question is this: how much more if we do the same to our kids? Not just giving them religion, reciting prayers or praying the rosary, but just give them the truth of the word of God and they grow up with it. How much more are they going to stand for the cause of the gospel? That made me to make it a very strong decision that every day I have to read the scriptures to my kids. And I've done this for over the years. Every day we had to read at least one chapter. I had to read the Psalms and books and the stories of Jesus Christ and those Jacob and Abraham and how God actually helped them to survive and conquer and live strong. One time, on the pre-wedding of my daughter, Olivia, she's now a teacher and a nurse, she stood boldly and confessed this. She said, I want to tell all of you the reason why we are having this occasion is because of my father. Because our father always read the scriptures for us in the morning or at night. From what we read from the scriptures and prayer is that what made me to get married when I'm a virgin. In Uganda, to say you're a virgin, it's kind of embarrassing somehow. But she said, it's because of that. And I'm proud that I'm going to exchange vows with my husband the first time ever. And I will surrender my body to him. And she went and sat and I cried for almost an hour, thanking God. And I said, the Holy Spirit said, did you hear that? And I said, okay, I'm not going to do that to only my kids, but I'm going to do that to my champions and to many other young kids, because when they get the truth, they are going to run with it and they are going to be strong in their time serving God wholeheartedly. The spirit of Hezekiah is a very dangerous spirit. And we can't allow that to happen in our lives. In Uganda, we have 402 kids now. And we have grown more food and putting up more buildings, growing more food, bringing in more kids. Because when you have food on the table and you have shelter, you are going to grow someone who has peace in his heart. But thank God for your prayers, and thank God for your support. Because we can confess tomorrow, and we can even prophesy what God is going to do in our country with these champions. As I told you, we don't call them orphans. We call them champions for Christ. Because as an orphan, I was tormented by that kind of mentality for years and years. But when I knew Christ, I never wanted anybody to call me an orphan, because I have God on my side. That's the same spirit. That's the same thing we want our children to grasp. That when you have God, you have everything. And you can do whatever God says you do. And you can go where God says go. And you can have what God says that you can have. Thank you for praying for us, Pastor. Now we have a plan. We are putting up a building which is going to enable us to get not less than 5 kids from each district, between 5 and 10. We have like 102 districts in our country. So, but we want to get orphans from all of those districts. We have only 22 districts so far. But after this building, we are going to bring kids from all over the country. And we want to love them and to disciple them and to grow them up. We know it is not easy, but it's very satisfying. And to see that you are God is using you for the purpose, for the future of the country. Because we believe that from now to the next 15, 18 years from now, we shall have disciples all around the country. Apart from preaching to the adults and married couples and crusades and in seminars, we see the future of Uganda in the life of these kids. Since we have different cultures and different tribes, which is very dangerous for us there because we used to hate each other according to the tribes. I told Pastor Jim that some years back here you had what we had, that called racism. But tribalism is more dangerous than maybe racism. Because all the civil wars you hear in Africa, number one causer is tribalism spirit. So by bringing these kids together, we are breaking the barrier of tribalism. And we are bringing the country together. And someone, when he goes back, is going to have friends all over. And they are going to know that we are not enemies to each other, but we are friends. And I know that God is going to use those kids to change our country in a twinkling of an eye. Pray for us. We are content for our faith. We want this to begin in January this coming year. And I know for sure that God is in it and is going to help us to succeed in that. Lastly, visit us. I was happy to hear that 10 people raised up their hands to come to Uganda. Don't change your mind. Yeah, when you change that mind, you are going to hell. The door is widely open, and that's the reason why I'm here. I can't wait to receive the team and host you guys and join the campaign of reaching people and speak and preach and teach and love. And you know, when people see us with someone of a different color, most times they know that is something. Some people, they start paying attention to what you say because we are teaming up together. And God usually perform an incredible work when we team up like this. And I'm here to tell you, we wouldn't do what we are doing now in Uganda if it was not connecting like this. Ever since I came in this church, God has done an incredible work. Not only in my life, from the teaching of Pastor Jim and Pastor David and others, but also in the work at large. Our church started in my workshop. I was running a furniture business, and that's where the church started. But now we have 37 branches, and now I was appointed to be one of the elders one of the 24 elders to 47,000 churches in the country. And I'm so happy to see that God is using an ordinary person. when we go to places and you see how many people running to come and hear Joe speak, and that humbles me. And I say, Lord, I wish they know where I was born. They know my background. But what I've realized, God is not defining us from our past, but is defining us for the future. Winners are not those who never fail, but those who never quit. When Pastor Jim came, I was almost giving up everything. I was tired of my family. I was really tired of the ministry and the church. I was going to drop the church because I had done that already. I pastored a church of 650 people from 87 to 89, and I gave up and I dropped it and went back to make my money and feel good and be okay and with the Hezekiah's spirit, and but things didn't work out my way, and people never came to give me any business. And after a month and a half, people started coming to Christ and repenting and accepting Christ. That's how the church started. And Pastor Jim came for my rescue. God sent him for my rescue. When I heard that, things changed forever. And I'm here to tell you, I will never give up on God. I'm ready to go where God says go. And I'm ready to stand in the gap and let God be God. And let God have his way to perform his work. An incredible and exploits in our time. Let's pray. O God of heavens, we know that the heaven is thy throne and this world is the throne of thy feet. We are just a human being, and we are just nothing. But through your mercy and your loving kindness, Father, you loved us so much. You left the heaven, emptied yourself from all the attributes of God, and you became like a man. You lived in this earth and you tasted everything we taste, and you were tempted in all areas of life, but you never committed sin. And Bible says that that's why you can help those who are tempted. Father, we thank you. We thank you because you never seated there in thy sovereignties and enjoy yourself, but you came for our rescue. The same spirit in Moses, the same spirit, Father, you are pouring down to your people in our time, so that we may live in love, not in lust, so that we may not be selfish to the extent of saying that we're okay, we don't mind about tomorrow. But you are filling us your spirit, you are giving us visions, callings, and ministries. And you are causing us, my Father, to triumph and to serve alongside with you in thy vineyard, in thy labor. We thank you for thy word that always sent forth to us, the word that we never come back to in void. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the power that raised you from the dead. Lord, it's not we that we live, but you live in us. Thank you for the incredible work that you are doing with those who are denying themselves, with those who are possessing the spirit of Moses, with those who are putting their lives on risk and say, I will never let my kids and the coming generation die. I'll put on socks and step on water and see what God is going to do. And Father, you have never disappointed us. You have parted the water. You have provided food in the wilderness. You have made the giants to fall down with a mere stone. And you have made Jericho to fall apart. Thank you for the incredible work you're doing and the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that you came, that we have life and have life more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus, for you came to destroy the works of the devil. And you came to set the captives free. We are free and free indeed, Lord. And the same freedom, Lord, we wish our kids to have and our fellow people have elsewhere in the whole world. Father, help us to deny that selfish spirit of Hezekiah and fill us with thy spirit and the spirit of Jesus Christ, that we may imitate him in this world and take his footsteps, Father, and reach the lost and say what you put in our hearts, in our mouth, Lord, for the rescue of many others who are dying in the dying world, living in the hopeless world, taking hope to those who are hopeless and life to those who are dying, and deliver us the flow of the living water may flow out of our belly up to an eternal life, Father. Thank you for the leaders of this church, Pastor Jim, David, and the leadership of Emmanuel Church, Lord, I pray that, Lord, continue to use them and continue, Father, to speak to them before they speak to people, so that they may speak to them prophetically and speak out the oracles of God and mysteries of the kingdom. I rebuke the spirit of Hezekiah in the name of Jesus. And I rebuke the spirit of fear. We are not given the spirit of fear, but boldness, love, and sound minding. In the name of Jesus Christ, fear will never cover up the church. Fear will never, never, never stop us crossing borders. Because we know that, Lord, you are leading our steps and you are guiding us, Father. And you are leading us, Lord, besides the living water and green pastures, Father. You are the head and you are the command of the army. And we are in that army that will never withdraw, never go back, because we know that we are always more than conquerors. We have the victory and we shall never lose, because the work is already done on the cross at Calvary. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for bearing that pain, the agony, dying for us, paying the price of our sin, dying at the substitutionary death on our behalf, so that we may live forever and serve you and be with you forever. Father, I thank you for that. I give you all the praises and glory in Jesus' name. I want to pray for young men and women here. If you are between 15 and 30, let me ask you to stand up on your feet. I want to make a special prayer for you. You just stand where you are, and I want to pray for you in Jesus' name. If you are between 15 and 30, if you don't mind, you can raise up your hand to God like this as a sign of surrender. We surrender, we say, Lord, we can't make it ourselves, but we need your divine intervention. Hold both of our hands, Lord, and have your way in our lives, Father. Mighty God, I'm praying for my fellow brothers and sisters, this coming generation, Father, the people of your own, and you have, I believe that you have a very good plan, as according to Jeremiah. Not the plan to harm them, but to prosper and to give them a future. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, as they are raising up their hands and towards you, Lord, towards the heavens, Lord, I ask you to have them in both of your hands, Father. Keep them from all danger. I ask you not to take them into temptations, Lord, but deliver them from all evils, Father, Lord, and keep them on board, so that, my God, they may see you, they may walk with you, they may desire to serve you the rest of their lives, Father. Lord, I know that the spirit of Hezekiah is everywhere. But Lord, I thank you for the spirit of Moses, the spirit of Jesus Christ, the spirit, because it's not by power, not by mighty, but by your Holy Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to fill them with thy power. With thy power. So that they may see the mysteries. They may see another side of the coin. They may see another side of the world. They may see what what you are, the intent of our living here in this world. Father, I thank you because you are not going to let them in the hand, to let them in the hands of Pharaoh, the devil. They are not of the devil. They are not of this world. They are children of the kingdom. They are your heritage. They are to take the patoon, the light, and they are they'll be content for their faith, Lord. Without hesitating, they will stand for the cause of the gospel. And I pray that, Lord, work out that in their hearts and their minds, Father. Surround them with people that will encourage them and show them the way. Let their ears, my God, hearken to what the Spirit says to the church. Whenever they come to hear the word of God, Father, I ask you to reveal the mysteries of thy kingdom in them. Because you promised that they are going to prosper and have visions, Lord. Whatever they touch their hands, Father. I remember young men, Joseph and David and Samuel, and all those young men in the Bible. They became and grew up, not because they had anything else, but they had you, God, who had a very good, varied plan. You told Jeremiah that don't say that you're young, because I knew you before you came in the womb of your mother. Father, I know that you know each and every individual, and you have a very good plan, my God, for them. I rebuke and I command the enemy never to divert them from the plan of God. Jesus, you said that you know people of your own. You get hold of their hands and no man can pluck them out of your hand, Father. Let it be with these young men and women so that, Lord, you may be God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I pray for them and I pray for their children's children. And I know for sure that Emmanuel Church, we always beget, we always bear fruit, we always have many generations and generations before you come back, Jesus, to take us back home. You have people you are of your own in your hands, and you use them your way. And I pray for everybody who is sick here. I know that, you are sufficient for all the needs of thy people. There are those who are in need of healings in their body. Father, because of your stripes, Lord, I command them healed. And I claim that healing virtue to flow right from the top of their heads to the shores of their feet. There are those who are in need of money. They want to pay debts. And they want to come over the mountains of debts and be free. Father, I pray that you bless the works of their hands and intervene, Lord, and pave the way where there's no way. I thank you, Father, for those who are in need of the anointing and revelations and serving and need of direction, Lord. I ask you, Father, to lead their steps, Father. Father, I thank you. I bless you. I give you all the praises and glory and honor through the mighty, wonderful, powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And everybody say, Amen. Amen. Thank you.